Welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored. We are your weekly teacher council meeting where we talk about the hows of teaching the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard.
Well, hello, Julie. Are you ready for another great discussion?
I am. Absolutely. I like your little intro.
Thanks. I had to do. You know, I was putting together this intro. For those of you on the podcast, there's a video intro part to this as well, which is why the music was longer this time, because on YouTube, there was some video there. And so what I did is I took, trying to find video that might match this whole thing. It was really difficult. I went to the church's website and I put this whole thing together. Then I sent it to the church and I said, can I use this? And they said, no, you can't use that. And I went, okay, sorry, okay. And I tried to find something else that worked. But, I mean, they had to license it from somewhere else, and, you know, it wasn't going to work out. But trying to find video around gospel topics like this that can actually be used, that you can use for B-roll or filler or whatever, that's kind of hard.
I mean, who knew? Like, you don't know until you try.
Right, yeah. I mean, it took me a long time to just get some basic stuff. So not that anyone ever actually does that, but that's the way it was for me. Anyways, let's get into today's topic. So I want you to tell me, Julie, for today, when I play this, how do you feel? For those of you who can't see her, she's dancing and boxing at the same time. There you go. Right.
Yo, okay. Adrian.
Hey, yo, Adrian. Right? Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm doing as well as you.
So, how does that make you feel?
Oh, I was channeling Sylvester Stallone in my brain, but I like pumped up. That's a good one. Like, I'm picturing the vista when he's at the top of the stairs and that, like, I got images running through my head. I'm psyched.
Yes. Okay. So, there's a conference that I go to and it's, I'm a part of the National Speakers Association. And so when you go there, all these speakers are talking to each other and they're, you know, speakers like to talk. So they talk a lot. There's a lot of talking that goes on. Yeah. So blah, 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 blah.
There's a vendor. That was
sure. Oh. Yeah. You know it.
Ears were falling off from all of the talking that people do.
Yes, yes, yes. And they always ask each other a number of questions. One of the questions they ask is, well, what are you talking on? What is your topic? Right. So that's probably the most commonly question asked, whatever.
You're such a good speaker.
Yeah, I know. Obviously. I know. That's why I get paid the big bucks for that. Yep. Commonly questioned asked. So another question that is often asked is, what is your intro song?
Oh.
Did you know about that? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Like, who would have even thought about that? Is that when they say intro song, do they mean like the song that you want played when you come on stage?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay.
And so some people have specific songs like that they want played when they come on stage. And there's usually a purpose for that. It's not just look at how cool this person is, but it's to get the audience in a certain frame of mind and in a mood, but it's also to help the speaker get there as well. Right.
I can do that. Yeah.
I mean, if they're nervous to get out there and in front of maybe the biggest crowd that they've ever been in front of, and they're just shaken and they just walk out there, that is totally completely different than if they're playing Rocky and they come bounding out a little bit, right? That gives them just a little bit of extra pep, a little bit of extra to get out there and do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard a gospel teacher use the Rocky theme. And it's almost disappointing.
Oh, you've never used it yourself either?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Huh. Can't imagine why.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding. And you know, I think it should be used more often. You know, just play that right. Amen. Say the prayer. Amen. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Let's get psyched, guys. Let's get pumped.
Right. That's... Do you feel the spirit? I feel the spirit. All right, Janice, kind of thing, right? No. Obviously, that's not appropriate to do.
Right.
But at the same time, I have found myself... I don't know if you've ever felt this way, Julie. But I have found myself going into a class feeling very rushed or, okay, oh, I just came from this other thing in life and I've got to get into this, or I just had this conversation and it was not the most pleasant. Now I've got to go be all spiritual. Like
shift. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So all these things, and then sometimes I may feel nervous going into it, into a class of, you know, or, you know, into a teaching circumstance where I don't know these people. I don't know how they're going to take it, or I've got a topic that is, could be a little dicey, or I'm not fully prepared. I mean, it could be a number of different things, right? Mm-hmm. What if we played a theme song to ourselves before? Now, I'm not being literal about that, but that is one idea. But when we go in, so many times I find myself just not quite in the right mental state.
Yeah, like, right? You're kind of still amped or still frustrated, yeah,
still,
or whatever. Yeah.
Still doing, my mind's somewhere else, or I'm going in, or I'm, my mind isn't where it ought to be. I'm thinking about it, but I'm too nervous or whatever it may be, right? So I go into it with not the right mental and maybe even the spiritual state that I would hope to be in. But I have found that when I do professional speaking, that if I'm in the right mind, everything just kind of flows after that. It just, all right, okay. You know, with the Rocky theme, if I'm on stage, I mean, not that I use the Rocky theme at all, because I don't, but on there, I would go be thinking, okay, I'm in this already. I'm going to bring the audience along and we're going to go do this. What if we could, as teachers though, get ourselves kind of in that mindset? Because too often I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming many others are not. Do you feel that angst at all, Julie, where you get in front, you know, you're teaching your Tuesday class and your Tuesday adult religion class, and then it's your mind may be somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I, like, just this week, Monday night, or I would guess I would say Tuesday morning, the dog started waking me up. I had fallen asleep at 12:15. The dog woke me up at 12:30, 1:30, like kept waking me up in the mat. My son woke up at 3:30. So I had just next to no sleep, and I hadn't finished preparing my lesson. I still had planned on an hour. So I came into class with my head like spinning.
Yes.
And I mean, that's not uncommon. Like, real life is chaotic. And so I often will come in with all of the stress of life. And like, my only decompression time is from the time I leave my house until I get to the stake center, which is a period of 10 minutes, which is not long enough. So yes, absolutely. 100%. Real life like follows you like Velcro into the classroom sometimes.
Yeah, it does. It does. What if though we could have a theme song in a way that helps us get in the right state of mind to help us get to where we need to be to, as we go into it, we can put those things aside and we remember why we're there and we remember what kind of impact we can have if we show up in the right mental and spiritual framework. I think it could be a big difference.
So I'm really curious where you're going to take this, because like, as you started talking about that, in my mind, I was like, oh, he's going to talk about playing music at the beginning of class. And then I'm like, no, I don't think that's where he's going. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, oh, the prayer is that at the beginning of class. That's kind of my, and then now I'm like, I don't think that's where he's going. And so then I started thinking about like, oh, I wonder if he's going to suggest that we quote a scripture. And I don't know if that's where you're going. I'm very curious. Because this is something that would be very useful to me, but I have no idea where you're going to go.
Okay. It's more towards scripture. Okay, take us. Last one. Okay. All right. So let's read. Oh, I got to get to the right page of my notes because I messed that up. I'm going to read, you and I are going to read a few things. And I don't remember how I got into this and how this kind of came up, but I think it was just from my normal scripture reading that I do. I read that and I thought, you know what? That's really good. That's kind of the attitude I need to have when I go into teach. And then something else hit that. And I was like, whoa, there's a familiar theme there. I should be like that when I go into teach. Oh, look at that. Look at that. So the first thing I'm going to read is from Preach My Gospel. It's on page 2 and it's in the second paragraph. No. Yes, it's in the first full paragraph. It has
in chapter 1 or the introduction?
Chapter 1.
Okay. Yep. Sorry, because you have to remember that some of us are using our phones to look at it.
So yes, good point.
We gotta know.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, in Fulfilling Your Missionary Purpose, chapter 1, there's a paragraph that starts probably four paragraphs down. It starts with, as an authorized representative of Jesus Christ. The last sentence there, as they accept your invitation, they will have greater happiness, hope, peace, and purpose. And when I read that, I thought, okay, that's about, I'm about to help have that kind of impact on them. That is what I am aiming for. And it helped me kind of just focus overall in what am I actually doing here? I am in front of these youth, in front of these adults, in front of these kids to teach a class, or in front of my kids to discuss the gospel. And really my purpose is to help them have greater happiness, hope, peace, and purpose. Now that's a wide net. That is not like, I mean, that could be anything there, right? But it does point me in a way of, okay, that's what I need to focus on right now. I need to let the other things go. That's what I'm going to focus on. Okay. And then the next section under that, it's page 3, but not on your phone, but on the next section under the authority and power of your calling. Second paragraph, I'm going to skip down. Now, this is obviously aimed toward missionaries, right? Ordained missionaries. But I want to put this in here. You received his authority. And I'm going to back up and say, when you were set apart, you received his authority to teach, right? When we're set apart, we receive that authority to teach. With it comes the right privilege and responsibility to represent the Lord and teach his gospel. So there we are. I'm going there to help bring hope, purpose, peace, and happiness by representing the Lord. That's who I'm representing. Okay. That's a little bit of that's heavy if we think about it, right? That's not I'm gonna go represent the Lord. Sounds good.
Right.
We are there for a real purpose. Okay. That right there helps me gets me centered a little bit. Now, let's turn to the Book of Mormon. Let's go to 2 Nephi 11. I don't know about you, but in my scriptures, when I hit 1 Nephi and I'm flipping through, I suddenly flip all the way to the end of 2 Nephi to like...
I do. Like 25. That's where
I go to 32. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's because it's just been so worn out in that area that it just naturally flips there. I don't know. All right. 2 Nephi chapter 11, verse 4 through 6. This helps me. Just get in the right frame of mind. Julie, will you start reading this?
I'd love to. Behold, my soul delighteth in proving unto my people the truth of the coming of Christ.
Stop for a second. Sorry. I do that all the time.
I love it. Stop me. Good.
My soul delighteth in proving this to the people. Do we go into class thinking, wow, my soul is going to delight here as I prove to them the coming of Jesus Christ, right? We don't think about that. But maybe we ought to just a little bit. Maybe we ought to get in the mind frame of, I'm actually pretty excited to do this. This, right. I am going to go in and help them have a greater testimony of Jesus Christ. Awesome. All right, I'm there. All right, I'm there. All right, keep going.
For this end hath the law of Moses been given. And all things which have been given of God from the beginning of the world unto man are the typifying of him. And also my soul delighteth in the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made known, or made, he hath made to our fathers. Yea, my soul delighteth in his grace and in his justice and power and mercy, in the great and eternal plan of deliverance from death. And my soul delighteth in proving unto my people that save Christ should come, all men must perish.
The key phrase, four times in there, my soul delighteth, my soul delighteth, right? To help my brothers and sisters understand this.
I love, actually, this is such a weird thing, but the word prove stuck mm-hmm. out to me too.
Okay, oh, okay, I wasn't going to go there, but let's talk about that anyways.
Okay, so, okay,
like, what are you thinking? Because I thought a lot about this.
I actually think that part of, like, we can't dictate other people having a spiritual experience, right?
Right.
That's not up to us. We can do everything that we can to create the ambiance, but people have that experience personally. Like, it's a personal experience. But man, we sure can help teach truth. And like, teaching truth is kind of what I think he's getting at. It's like, proving unto my people, like, this is, and it's talking about the truth of proving unto my people that save Christ should come, all men must perish. It's like, you can't prove truth, but what it, I think, is getting at, in fact, does it have, hold on, I got to do this in my, let me look in my real scriptures. I'll try and talk simultaneously. The point that I'm going to make, though, is that with truth comes confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so our job, I feel like, is to help people become more confident in their faith. More faith is reason, substance, you know, all of those things that we've talked about in the past. And so, wow, like, the intellectual part does matter. The wrapping our minds around things matters. We're supposed to know things in our heart and in our mind. We're supposed to study it out in our mind. Like, there, our thoughts play a huge role in our faith. And I think that this is like, let's talk about that part. Let's talk about how important these things are. We're not relying completely upon everybody's feelings. We're actually going to rationally discuss as well. I'm just looking to see if the word prove has anything by it. So it's 4, 5, and 6. Okay, prove. Let's see what it says. Okay, it takes us to 2 Nephi 31,
mm-hmm.
verse 2. It says, wherefore the things which I have written sufficeth me, save it be a few words which I must speak concerning the doctrine of Christ. Wherefore I shall speak unto you plainly, according to the plainness of my prophesying. So could this prove thing be alluding to the simplicity on the far side of complexity mm-hmm. part of the gospel?
Maybe. And
extrapolating from it. Go ahead.
That thought brings me to another part in Preach My Gospel a few pages later.
Okay.
It's on page 6. It's under the title of the Gospel of the Gospel of Christ and Doctrine of Christ. It's a quote by Hiram Smith. He says, preach the first principles of the gospel, preach them over again, over and over again, and you will find that day after day, new ideas and additional light concerning them will be revealed to you. You can enlarge upon them so as to comprehend them clearly. You will then be able to make them more plainly understood by those you teach.
That's so good. Hey, and did you notice that the first part of that verse in 2 Nephi 31, verse 2, references the doctrine of Christ?
Yes.
Which is kind of what you're saying. Go back to the simple parts and more light will come. You'll understand them on a deeper level. Like, that's our job.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, Kevin. That's a good.
So the whole proving thing there is really interesting. And I love how, because that word has stuck out to me before as well, the proving. And I'm like, okay, can I really prove this to someone? And it kind of went through the same thought experiment that you just went through of, okay, are we going to prove it? Are we proving truth? And really, I think the one who proves it is the spirit, period, right? We can not rationalize, that's the wrong word, intellectualize the gospel to prove the gospel is true. But it's the spirit is the one who's going to do the real proving. So our job in a way is to make sure that the spirit is there.
Right. You know what I just put in my little note section? I put prove equals make more plain.
Make more plain. I love that. And how because how do we make more plain?
So make, when I say make more plain, I don't mean like bland. I mean like make more clear.
Clear. Right? Yes. Right.
We do that by being clear ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if we can, so I think that making things click, making them simple, then the spirit can build upon it.
Yes.
Like that additional light can come, but you have to understand it at its distilled point in order for you to be able to receive more light about a subject.
Yep. And Hiram says, to do that, to get to that more clear point, we need to teach the principles of the gospel, the doctrines of Christ again and again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
Just keep doing that. Just focus on the doctrine of Christ. My wife, my Kelly, she started to attend the temple. In fact, she's should be coming home right now from her second time of working in the temple. And last Sunday, we went to a yearly temple meeting where all temple workers could go. And all they talked about was the doctrine of Christ.
Love it.
The simplicity. And obviously, and what it had to do with the temple and how it integrates with the temple, but just real overall life. But the more we talk about, the more, like Hiram said, the more insight we have, the more clear things will become to us, and the more we will be able to clearly explain that to others. And when we do it, and the Spirit's there, the Spirit will prove to them with those clear insights.
Yeah, I love that. I'm so sorry if that was a bit of a tangent, because I know what you're talking about is getting pumped about teaching a little bit. Like you're mm-hmm. saying, these scriptures can get us pumped, but that actually gets me pumped a little bit. And it right. also gives me a little bit of a gut check going in, saying, Julie, let it all distill, get it back to what really matters, kind of a thing. And so for me, it's a little bit of a like head check.
Good. Like, yes. I agree, because when we dive into this, I mean, we could read these scriptures, for example, this and the other ones that we'll talk about. But if we don't really understand what's behind it, then it's a surface level, get you pumped up to teach kind of thing, right? It's a, okay, yeah, that's great. But when we dive in and start to understand the proving and understand specific words and phrases, and my soul delighteth four times, really, am I walking into this class showing that I am excited or delighted to teach?
Yeah. Right.
Maybe not. Right. And maybe I can change that. Okay. Well, good, good, good.
Can I add one more thing? So when it says my soul delighteth, look at the things that it talks about. Mm-hmm. My soul delighteth in, and then we're talking about providing more clarity, proving right. The doctrine of Christ. It's talking about the truth of the coming of Christ, which I think, you know, has a lot to do, basically take it back to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then my soul delighteth in the covenants of the Lord. I love that. My soul delighteth in, and then it goes back to Jesus, his grace, his justice, his power, his mercy, his plan. And my soul delighteth, and then in basically how all of this, and this is verse 6, impacts you and your life. Like this mm-hmm. is absolutely what will save you, kind of a thing. And I'm like, wow, do I? Like that is going back to, do I appreciate and am I actually delighted by all of that?
Right.
Versus do I take it for granted? Do I, you know what I mean? That's like, oh yeah.
Yeah. And I have a hard time thinking that delight is only within us and it's not something that we don't show out. I think, you know, the connotation of delight or a part of being delighted is that it's an outward expression at the same time. Right.
Right. Right.
And so we can't just go be all giddy about the doctrine of Christ inside without being able to show it outside and having those around us feel that same thing.
Right. Okay. Like your enthusiasm needs to show.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the same time, I want to say it. So, and I've used that word and you just used that word again, the enthusiasm. It's not like everyone needs to go out and be, hey, everyone, look at me. Or, you know, this is the doctrine of Christ. Shouldn't we be excited about it? It's not that kind of, it's not the fake enthusiasm. It's delighting and it's the joy and it's, wow, I love the doctrine of Christ. I love Christ. I love, you know, the covenants, those things. But there's a way that, and everyone has a different way of doing it, but everyone has a different way of expressing how to show that they are delighted. And as long as that comes across in the authentic way that you show it, great. That's what matters on the delighted side of things.
Can I give a caution with this? That yes. I think that this goes right along with it. There have been times when I've had people get up at the beginning of class and talked about, and I've even done this before and then I've regretted it, talked about, I just didn't have that much time to prepare.
Oh, yeah.
Or just, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm not in a great headspace today. So we're just going to, we'll muddy through this. Or basically setting, and you want to bring your authentic self. I'm not suggesting that you should be inauthentic, but that confession kind of takes the whole anticipation of the lesson and it goes, wah, wah.
Yes.
Because people will match that. And so even, I think what the scripture is suggesting or what you're suggesting when you draw us to the scripture is that we need to permit ourselves to have confidence in the fact that we've been called to do this, that the Spirit will help enable us to do it effectively, even if our head is kind of struggling to get to the right place. And that what it is all really about is this, not all the periphery stuff that might be bogging us down. And so an expression of confidence at the beginning is appropriate, but the opposite might not be. Even if you're feeling yucky, like to say, I just didn't have time. Because then it is kind of like saying, you know, other things took priority. And then mm-hmm. people are like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I want to give an example of that, if I could, real quickly.
Yes, do it.
Today, just now. This morning, I had to do a 3-hour workshop starting at 7 a.m. online. And so it's basically, typically what I do is I get up, get ready, read scriptures, pray, and then go start my day. Well, yeah. With it starting at 7 o'clock, when it starts at 7 o'clock, I don't do that. I do all, you know, the prep actually later because I'm usually staying up too late with family or whatever it is, right? So I just went into the workshop today, did it, and that's just exhausting in and of itself. And then I went and ate breakfast, and then I came back and I'm like, oh, Jill and I are recording. Oh, I'm not feeling it. I'm not mm-hmm. feeling it right now. Yeah. I need something. So I sat down, read some scriptures, kind of covered some of what I was going to cover today. My whole attitude changed. It was complete. And as I was walking back and forth, from downstairs up to my office, I said a little prayer and said, hey, thank you, because I was not in this headspace. I was not there at all.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I don't know that I'm going to, you know, be able to speak with the Spirit at all because I'm not there. So thank you for changing this around. And it didn't take long. Honestly, it took a few minutes of focusing on the scriptures, reading a few things to get my head back in, and I was there finally.
Yeah. Good
it's the same when we go to teach. We don't, if we're not in the greatest headspace, great, or greatest spiritual space, take a few minutes, read a few things, read some of these scriptures that we've read and that we will read here soon, or others, just get yourself back in and go, okay, why am I here? What am I doing? Who am I representing? What power do I have in my calling? Okay, let's go do this. And it changes everything.
I love that. That made it super real for me because I do think that oftentimes I am rushing in to teach.
Yeah.
And so that is super, super real to me. And I love what you're saying, that only takes a minute. This is not a hard reset where you have to like step away and, you know, have 30 minutes of meditation and all of that. You're just saying spirit can help you get there fast.
Yes. It's amazing.
I agree with that. I think that's right.
Yeah. Renewing a body and spirit right away can happen. Okay.
Cool.
Let's do another one. 1 Nephi 14:14.
Okay. Hey, I went right to it.
Look at that. Mm-hmm. Scripture chase. Go.
Ready, go.
Okay. I love this one. What it says at the end of the verse. I love, love, love this one as a reminder. Will you read this, Julie, please?
I would love to. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord, who were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory.
How cool. I love that. Holy, I mean, the first thing that I think of is that me? Am I armed with righteousness and with the power of God and great glory? As I go to teach this, that can be me. Okay, that's me. Okay, all right, that's me. But also, guess who I'm teaching? I'm teaching those people who are armed with righteousness and power of God and great glory. Do they know that yet? I'm going to help them figure that out. I'm going to help them realize that too. That's them also.
That's cool.
I feel so blessed to be able to, you know, teach these people with the power of God. Wow. I'm there all day long.
That's awesome. That's cool. I never thought about it that way.
All day. Okay. Let's see. Okay. If we have the desire to get to this spot of, okay, I want, you know, I'm excited to teach. I know my purpose. I know who I'm teaching. I know why I'm teaching, et cetera, et cetera. How do we get there? We can read those things, but there are things that we can do even ahead of time. And they may seem like Sunday school answers, but they are scripturally backed. So to help us get there, let's go to 2 Nephi 32:3. Ready, set, go, chase. There. I win. Look at that. I'm a winner.
I'm almost there. I'm there. Oh, wait, one more page. I'm there.
Now, this is you started talking about the doctrine of Christ and read a verse that actually introduced it in chapter 31 about him talking about the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ, this is kind of funny that he actually wraps up the doctrine of Christ. And then he goes back to it and goes, oh yeah, by the way, I forgot. Let me add this other thing at the beginning of 32. And he adds this a little more, and that's the doctrine of Christ too. So 32:3, would you read that please?
Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do.
That is Nephi's answer. That is Nephi's primary answer. Not as primary as in primary, secondary, tertiary, right, but as in, you know, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam primary answer. Right? We read, how do we get ready? We feast upon the scriptures. That is one way we get ready and make that a consistent thing. I remember in seminary years ago, that was so many years ago when I was
you're
in
like
seminary.
Dating yourself right now. You're making yourself sound so old. It was so many years ago.
I know. Wow.
We were
talking about the Book of Mormon. I think it was this verse that we were specifically talking about. And I don't know why this stuck out to me. Of all the things, I don't remember much from my childhood, but for some reason, this is one thing I remember. We were seniors, we were sitting in class. I remember right where I was. And I don't remember the teacher, but the teacher said, do you feast upon the words of Christ? And one of my classmates, his name was Eric Markworth. He raised his hands and he said, I fast on it. And we all laughed and we were like, everyone was like, yep, we're fasting too. And fasting's thing, right?
That's so awesome. That is so awesome.
We busted up hard. It was so funny. But That's serious at the same time, right? Are we fasting?
Or are we feasting?
Or are we feasting? Or are we nibbling? Or are we just having a casual whatever? Or are we feasting, right? And we've been in a million Sunday school lessons where we talk about feasting, and I, you know, just can't talk enough about that and how important that is. Okay, so that's one. Alma 37, let's go there.
Hey, really quickly, mm-hmm. Can I just point something out that I think is kind of cool about that verse?
Please.
Just really quickly. When you go to the word angels, it takes you to angels in the topical guide. But when you think about angels, like this goes back to that general conference talk by, who was it that talked about angels being earthly angels? Mm-hmm. Who was it? Was it Gong? I can't remember.
Remember it being said.
But in the topical guide, it says, see also angels ministering, so ministering angels, and then messenger, and then it says minister. And I was like, oh, we're all ministers. And when it talks about, angels, then it also cross-references the Bible dictionary, and it goes through and tells us a little bit about their, you know, our different heavenly beings that minister. But then it goes in, and I remember this, different angels mentioned by name, New Testament. Hold on. I'm trying to find, a person who is a divine messenger is called an angel. And hold on. Those are exalted. hold on. I can't find it. But basically okay. In here, I remember reading it, that it talks about the fact that like angels include the people in our lives that right. Like, I remember reading it, but I can't find it. I'm skimming really, really badly with new contacts that I can't see very well. So I'm like, it's not even at the right distance. It's really bad. And so when it talks about how angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, like I think part of it we could extrapolate from this is that we have the privilege of being able to speak by the power of the Holy Ghost if we are doing that prep work, like feasting upon the words of Christ. You can't speak by the power of the Holy Ghost and have the Holy Ghost bring something to your remembrance if you haven't actually read it and understood it before. Right. And so our feasting gives us the blessing of the remembering part of the Holy Ghost's role. Did that make any sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Okay. Your husband, Todd, loves food. Loves good food. Doesn't he?
Yes.
He can feast and just go, oh my goodness, look at that. And I'm not to his level. I know I'll eat some good food and go, that was really good. But he knows how to appreciate that.
I got chills.
Yes. Yes, he does. And I love that about him. But I'm not at that level with food, but I love that in the scriptures where, you know, if we just casually eat the scriptures, I'll say, if we casually eat the scriptures, then we're like, yeah. But then when we feast on him, we get the chills. Well, like you said, right? Oh, we can recognize the nuances and the cool stuff in it and go, oh, that's what he's really talking about. I never saw that before, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So another one, Alma 37. Mm-hmm. Alma 37. And we're not. Yeah, I guess we should read this.
Hold on. I dropped my pen. Okay, we're back.
Okay, 36 and 37. I will go ahead and read that. This is Alma. And he says, cry unto the Lord for all thy support. Yea, let thy doings be unto the Lord. And wherever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let all thy thoughts be directed in the Lord. Unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel with the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. When thou liest down, pray. And then when you sleep, and morning, and all this. And it basically says, pray. I mean, if we wanted to look at it really, really simply, right? Another primary answer. First, we have read the scriptures. Now we have pray. But it's true. And how many times do we go into a lesson where we might not pray beforehand of, okay, Heavenly Father, I know my purpose and I know what I'm trying to do. Please help me get there. We may have said a prayer when we started to prepare for the lesson. That's great. But are we doing that right before as well to get ourselves in that mind?
Have you ever gotten to class and stood up and went, oh crap, I totally forgot to say my prayers this morning.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I've done that. And then I'm like, oh, shoot. And so I'm like, prayer in my heart, super rushed.
Yeah. Right? Sorry.
But okay, so can I share a really quick experience?
Okay.
So this was kind of cool to me, and it may sound a little bit stupid. So I, in a professional setting, also pray, because I feel like my job is not to just do what the client expects me to do. My job is, as you know, I consider it to be a spiritual job. And I want to help people have better lives because of what I'm teaching. Nothing that I teach should just stay in the professional setting. I'm hoping it will bleed into everybody's personal lives and help them to become better people. That's great. What I'm passionate about. So I remember that I was in charge of the content part of a retreat. And the retreat overall felt a little bit ambiguous to me. Like I didn't really feel like I clearly understood the purpose. And so I was a little bit unclear about what I was supposed to be talking about. And that makes me nervous. I feel insecure. So I went into this and I was like, Heavenly Father, like I want to be able to create an experience for people that helps them to in some way be touched by thy spirit. And I was thinking about how I do that. And this particular part of my job, I couldn't prepare that much for, because we were going to teach what we call talking stick communication. And then we were going to address some topics that were a little bit kind of emotional and rubby and difficult within the office. Rubby. And so I went into the setting not knowing what was going to come up. And so as I'm going along and certain topics come up and we're kind of muddying through that, I'm still like, gosh, I just don't feel like it's having the impact that it should. And then this woman raised her hand and she brought something up, like a really tender, vulnerable topic. And as she brought this topic up, the feeling in that space changed. And I had this thought pop into my head, I'm answering your prayer right now. And I was like, whoa. I mean, I was literally in the middle of like intellectually trying to help figure out how I take what she has said and teach this principle and help them practice this principle. So I was really mentally wrapped up in it. And it was almost as though everything got interrupted. And I had this just clear as day, I'm answering your prayer right now moment. And it was a reminder to me of just how important it is that we go approach every teaching opportunity we have with that kind of, I am an instrument, this isn't mine, this is yours, help me to do it. And that somehow, some way, he can literally change the entire trajectory with one person's comment. And this person said, I almost felt, like she happened to be a member of the church. And she's like, I almost felt like I feel when I'm supposed to share my testimony. She's like, my heart started pounding and I just knew I was supposed to express this thought. It was really painful actually for a lot of people to hear. And it was really painful for her to express and very, very vulnerable. And she's like, but I couldn't not. I just felt like I had to say it. And I'm like, thank you, Heavenly Father. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I wonder if she would have said that had you not asked for it.
I don't know. Like, I don't know how all that works, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I was so touched that I had the thought, because I don't always even recognize it, but it was so clear to me that I even came home and journaled about it, which is kind of unusual for me to like immediately write something down. But I came home and I was like, I got to remember, just Heavenly Father was so clear. Julie, I answered your prayer and pointed it out to me, which is making me even more motivated to be prayerful about going into these other teaching opportunities that I have, right?
Yes, that's great. I mean, in the verses in Psalm 37, he says, cry over everything, pray over everything, do whatever. And I was listening to Follow Him for this week, the week we're recording. And I should look up the person's name.
Is it Dr. Craig Manning?
Yes.
Oh, don't you worry. My next podcast is going to reference that one. All when right. I'm in charge next, we're talking about it, because it was top three podcasts I think I've ever listened to was that one.
It was phenomenal.
Don't steal all of it, Kevin, because we got to talk about this in depth.
Oh, so yeah. Well, watch me. I will say
we're talking about it more.
I'm going to say one thing. that he mentioned, and that I was like, duh, yeah, I know that one. But how often do I practice it? Probably not. Well, I know not nearly as much as I should. And of course, why didn't I think of it in that way? But he said it so perfectly. I mean, it was basically, you need to be more specific in your prayers.
I know.
Right?
I know.
And I was like, duh, I know prayers, that.
Right? But he's like, the mental work that goes into preparing for your prayers is part of what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. He's like, do the work so that you can be specific.
Right.
It's not just bless my kids.
Right. Like, in what way? In what way do you want the Lord to bless your kids? Oh, well, I need to think about that exactly then, right? That's a mental preparation beforehand. It's the same with our lessons. When we get up and when if we want something to happen in the class, let's pray for it. Maybe.
Yes.
I mean, imagine that. We pray that something specific will happen and it just might. In fact, it probably will.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good.
I won't steal any more of that because that was really, really, really good. I loved it.
So good. I was not even going to talk about that part. Like that part, though, totally struck me.
Yeah, me too.
I have to remember. Oh, so good.
Okay. Okay, Alma 5. Let's go there. Okay. Alma 5. And we're looking at 57 and 59. This is another.
By the way, if you wanted to totally talk about it, Kevin, you can steal it anytime. Because remember, great minds think alike. Remember how last time we were going to talk about the same thing and I stole it?
And you stole it. Well done, Julie.
So I rejoiced in you stealing from whatever. It's not mine. I don't even own it. I just get excited. Please. I just get stoked. My soul delighteth, Kevin.
I can tell.
My soul delighteth in that.
I can see that. I can hear that. I love it. Okay. 57 and 59. I'm just going to pick out a piece from each verse here. And I love this. I can refer back to this a million times. All right. 57. Now I say unto you, all that are desirous to follow the voice of the good shepherd, come ye out from the wicked and be ye separate and touch not their unclean things. That is how we prepare, is we need to be separate and not touch the unclean things of the world. And we could go into what exactly that means, but I think everyone, honestly, we already know that. We already know what we need to do to change to not touch those unclean things. And then 59 is when you do that, what kind of an impact will you have? The last half of 59. And behold, if a wolf enter his flock, doth he not drive him out? Yea, and at the last, if he can, he will destroy him. Those things that are not of God, we need to point those out and say, hey, we need to recognize those things and say, this is not of God. We need to stay away from these things. And we need to help the people that we teach recognize those things as well. And be specific even. And it's okay. And the whole specificity thing, I struggle with, to tell you the truth, because sometimes it's, oh, well, that's your opinion. For example, I'll give you one. I am not a fan of video games at all.
I'm with you.
100%. It is destroying so many marriages and so many mm-hmm. of the youth, especially the young men. But that's my opinion, right?
Yeah.
So I struggle with this of pointing things out like that. But at the same time, if it's destroying, it's destroying. If a wolf enter his flock, doth he not drive him out? If something is destroying my flock, I'm going to drive him out. I don't care. And I'm not going to be bashful about it. I'm going to be a bit bold about it. And I almost get the attitude of, if that offends you, I'm sorry. That's just going to happen. Yeah. Right. But at the same time, some things have to be pointed out. And so what this reminds me is sometimes I need to be bold. I need to probably be a little bit more bold than I have been. And it's okay to be bold and even say, you know what, this is not gospel, but this is my opinion. And here's why I feel that way. And you can even say, if all the rest of you play video games, whatever, but this is how I feel about it, right? Whether it's video games or something else, but it's okay to be bold, and we should be bold
But, I feel like we need to push on that just a little bit.
Okay.
So let me suggest something. I feel like the reason that I feel like we need to push on that just a little bit is because I have had people say things in class before that were a little fringe, that were their opinion.
Correct.
Do you know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
And so is it appropriate like to express your opinion? Like, is everybody going to have the judgment to be able to be bold about appropriate things versus be bold about expressing? So I think, is there a caution that we need to add to that? Like,
yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the caution that I just gave was make sure that they understand that it's your opinion.
Right? Yeah. But I think there's more to it. Like, I think you can say, this is I've had people do that and say, this is my opinion before, but then make a really judgmental, isolating statement to the class.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Well, so here's the part that I struggle with is sometimes we invite that by our questions. We ask a question of da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. So we know that we need to not, okay, as an example, and I'm not saying that this is it, but we need to not touch the unclean things. What do you think are the unclean things that we need to be careful of? And then someone comes out with something that everyone thinks is okay, but they don't think is okay. And they're just like, whoa, that's, you know, that's a little bit fringy there, but yeah, we just invited that.
Right.
Okay. So how do we do that?
So here's a thought. If we are going to express a bold statement like that, like, you know, what are unclean things? What if we hold ourselves accountable for making it personal? So let me give an example. I feel like one of the things that we sometimes do when we're looking at things like that and talking about the wicked and the things that the wicked do, that we isolate ourselves and don't ever include ourselves in that category. And I actually think that every one of us ought to be like right thinking on of ourselves as being in that category at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe what we could say is, you know, I'm going to express an opinion. And part of the reason is because I've had an experience with this in my own life. And so for me, this principle holds true. And you don't have to like make a confession or anything like that. Maybe, you know, I've had loved ones that are affected by this, you know, but you just want to make sure that when, like, I have a friend who lives the word of wisdom very differently than I do. And she's probably right in some regard. She's definitely healthier than I am. You know, I'm sure she's like as fit as anyone I've ever met in my entire life. But if she was forcing, like preaching that from a classroom and saying that, it would isolate 99% of the people in there because she's very extreme in her dietary restrictions. And so but then I learned why. I talked to her enough to understand why. And she'd actually had a spiritual experience that led her to that level of extremism. And she talked about some of the risks and some of the, you know, some of the reasons that she landed there that were all very, very personal. And then I felt zero judged or threatened by her bold statement. And so I would say that if we are going to make a bold statement, we ought not to make it from a place of other people, but from a place of my personal experience has led me to feel this strongly.
I like
and
that.
And it is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because then people aren't maybe going to take offense at it. It doesn't feel like you're judging people externally. You're actually holding yourself accountable to something because of your personal paradigm and experience.
That's a great way to do it. Very good, Julia. Love that.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. So can I add one more thought on this scripture?
Please.
It goes back to what I was just saying when you were talking about how we need to be making sure that we're coming out from the wicked and being separate and all of that. I would also say that part of our job is to help people see themselves as the wicked sometimes. That we need to take everything that we're teaching and not externalize it, but internalize it.
Yep.
And so when you are, you know, teaching, you're saying to them, hey, so how is this you sometimes? How do you find yourself among the wicked and then consciously separate yourself?
Yes.
so that we don't in any way externalize principles of the gospel. And this is just a great verse to illustrate that, but it is a great way for us to teach where we're saying, I'm always putting myself in both places. I never assume I'm always only found among the righteous. And I'm never assuming that I am always a perfect covenant keeper. And I am never assuming that I have a free pass into heaven because I've done so many good things and checked so many boxes. I find myself in the natural man category sometimes. I find myself in the wicked category, in the unrighteous, in the failing and keeping my covenants. I find myself there, and then I always have a way back, and I always am looking back. And yes, doing that, like encouraging people to do that, holds us accountable for not having judgmental discussions in our classes as well. And so we're pushing by putting us and ourselves into that category of the wicked sometimes. So anyway, that is, I think, part of the preparation is the humility of how do we find ourselves there?
That's exactly it. Yep. Because all of the scriptures that we are reading is, if we have a desire, in my notes, I have, if we have a desire, how do we get there? And that one verse is a self-reflection verse for me, right? Is come out from the wicked and touch not the unclean things. And then it's okay. If I want to be a better teacher, I need to do that.
Right.
More.
Right.
And better. What are those things that I need to change? Right. And so you're right. It is a very, very internal thing. And I don't know that we can even say that on the outside as well. Unless you have stewardship in a way, but.
Right. But we can say, we can like the, in the way that we teach, in the questions that we ask, we can prompt discussions that do the exact same thing for everyone in that class, in that space that you did as pre-work, right?
Yes. Yes, very good. Okay, I'm gonna do just one more, and this is just a this is from Elder Holland from April 24 conference. It's the third to the last paragraph, and I'm just gonna read this. And again, this is an internal thing. As we become better teachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, how do we prepare ourselves to be there and to show up and be that teacher? And when I read this, this was for me. And I absolutely love this. He says, I bear witness that when Christ comes, he needs to recognize us, not as nominal members listed on a faded baptismal record, but as thoroughly committed, faithfully believing, covenant-keeping disciples. This is an urgent matter for all of us, lest we ever hear with devastating regret, I never knew you. Or as Joseph Smith translated that phrase, you never knew me. So am I just, and that made me reflect, am I just a teacher? Am on the records of the, when I open up the LDS Tools app and it says teacher, is that who I'm listed at? Or am I all in to teaching? And one way I think we can be all in teaching is not only with a preparation, but the preparation right before to get us in that right frame of mind as we teach, so that those worldly things and other things that may be bogging us down of life, great, those go away for a minute. I know who I am. I know what my calling is. And this is what I am to do with this class or with my children as we teach within a family or whatever it may be. But I think getting us mentally ready, playing that Rocky song scripturally,
will help us really. Scripturally.
the scripture Rocky song? Rocky scripture song?
I like it. I like it. Yeah. It works for me.
So that's all I have on that. But when I was thinking about the kind of the entrance song for speakers, I thought, what do we have as teachers? What do we need to have something. I don't know. Maybe someone does have an entrance song, but they play it right before they go into the class and they play like a hymn or something that just gets them in the right frame of mind of, oh yeah, okay, this is what I'm going to do. All right. You know, have I done any good in the world today? Kind of thing. Or
thanks for singing it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. But anyways, that's all we have. Do you have anything last that you want to?
No, that was great. It's funny because it's definitely something I can relate to because I feel like I'm always rushing in. So I'm glad that you brought that up, like that there are things that we can do to get ourselves in the right headspace. And I also love that the scriptures that you brought up, I mean, some of them were going back to what prep work is, but really, truly, I think all of them are meant to just kind of light a fire in us that this is divine work. Like this is important work. And it's not just what's happening within your classroom. It's also what's happening within you.
Yeah. In fact, most of it is happening within you. Right. And when it happens within you, it naturally gets shared out to everyone else.
It's contagious.
Yeah. It's hard not to when right. you do that. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thanks for showing up, everyone. Thanks for listening. We hope this helped. If it does, please share. Please let others know. Please comment and let us know. Go to teachingrestore.com if you have any questions of I'm struggling with this. We've had a number of people write in lately and it's been great. We've loved it. Continue, please. We'll see you next time. Thanks.